And we're live. Welcome back, my friends. Thank you for joining. Your participation really means a lot to me. Together, we are fulfilling the special instructions we got from the Rebbe to learn about the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be a reality for us. Many of the things we're going to talk about today aren't relevant, at least not in real time. Although, as you'll see, some of these concepts can still, if not actually tell us what to do, they can give us guidance and they can point us in a good direction. We're learning the seventh chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the laws of Hashem's chosen home. This chapter, as we've mentioned many times during the course of our study of it over the last couple of episodes, focuses on awe, reverence, dignity, the honor of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's proverbial home. So our sages enacted this idea of varying grades of sanctity. Yerushalayim is, of course, a step up from the other walled cities, which was elevated from the Kedusha, the holiness that was found in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And our sages enacted a series of regulations, prohibitions, things we should, or more accurately, should not do in the city of Yerushalayim. This is really for two reasons, and what we'll learn about today embodies them both. One of the regulations addresses one area, and the other represents the second dimension. And the two dimensions of this, two dimensions. Dimension one is that we're supposed to hold the Beis HaMikdash in the highest of esteem. Beis Hashem Nahal Berogesh. We're supposed to come to the Beis HaMikdash in a sense of absolute, utter emotional awe. We're supposed to behave with the greatest of reverence. And at the same time, we come to Yerushalayim, we come to the Beis HaMikdash to be closer to God, to nurture and develop a closer relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth, and relationships always have to be on the terms of whomever you're having the relationship with. So, if you like it hot, and the person you love likes it cold, you're going to have to build a relationship on their terms. Of course, friendships and certainly marriage is based on a lot of compromise. Because you're not in a relationship with yourself. You know what you like, and most people love themselves. But if you love somebody else, you have to be sensitive to their needs. And you have to want to understand and appreciate where they're coming from. As different as we may be, we aren't really that different. It isn't impossible. In fact, it oftentimes isn't even difficult to understand other people. We are naturally predisposed to empathy. At least most of us are. Some of us have an easier time reading other people or understanding other people. But Hashem, God, is omnipotent and He's the Creator. And we are finite and entirely limited. How is there going to be a relationship? And the answer is that our good fortune is that Hashem decided to have a relationship with us and He gave us mitzvot. Now we, all of humanity, but especially Yisrael Am Kroivei, Am Yisrael, who Hashem selected, the Jewish people were chosen by God to have a unique relationship with God, we do so by virtue of the mitzvot. Yerushalayim, the city of God's choice, because in it shall be built the Beis HaMikdash, which is God's chosen home, allows us the privilege of an expanded area of relationship. Many, many additional. I use that word loosely. They're not really additional. They're additional to what we're used to. Many mitzvot. Many mechanisms. Instructions from God, but mechanisms and envelopes through which we can enjoy and nurture a deeper relationship with Hashem, with God, the creator of heaven and earth. So Yerushalayim has to reflect the respect and the awe that we have for God, which is a mitzvah in and of itself. We're supposed to respect the site of the Beis HaMikdash because of what it represents, because God chooses to dwell, proverbially speaking, or that His presence is manifest in the Beis HaMikdash. And because this is the place that God ordained, we, Am Yisrael, humanity, are able to meet, so to speak. You know, the original forerunner of the Beis HaMikdash was called Ohel Moed, Tent of Appointed Meetings. That's where we met God, if you will. Three times a year, we are enjoined to leave our homes and our comfort zones, to come to Yerushalayim, to meet God, to see and be seen, as our sages put it. So Yerushalayim, this city that we come to with devotion, with emotion, with love and exuberance and excitement and joy and song, it should look the part. It should look special. It should look beautiful, gleaming. You know that song, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Jerusalem has ever maintained this imagery, this imagination for Jewish people. And the sandstone or limestone called Jerusalem stone that everything is built of, as we talked about yesterday in the episode previous, it helps, you know, it helps. We're human beings. We're fleshy people, material people, and things that we can touch physically, things we can see with our eye, it helps to curate the relationship and to the emotion we're trying to achieve. So very interestingly, our sages said to us that in the city of Yerushalayim, there should be no ovens, no kilns. Ein oisim bakiv shaynis. We don't build furnaces. Now, what kind of furnaces are these? The Derech Chochma, based on the words of Rashi in Meseches Chagiga, on page 26, explains that these were ovens or furnaces in which ceramics were fired. Now, I'm no expert on ceramics or ancient ovens, and I don't know if the ceramics had to be heated to a greater degree and as such produced more smoke, a greater volume of smoke, or if it just wasn't practical to have no ovens in the city. People had to eat. Bread has to be baked. We don't see any limitation on bakeries. And again, I don't know if the bakery oven produces less or more smoke, but you don't need to make ceramics in the city. So there was some, what we call in modern Hebrew, ta'asiya, there was some industry in Yerushalayim. There was certainly some industry. People did things. It wasn't only catering to pilgrims who came. But the industry had to be limited to the kinds of vocations or activities that would in no way infringe on or diminish the beauty of Yerushalayim. So we learned yesterday about no farming, no orchards. That's usually a mitzvah. Eretz Yisrael, it's a mitzvah to farm the land of Israel. And there are mitzvahs that can be performed when you farm, like tithes, like special heave offerings, truma, maaser, and yet keeping Yerushalayim pristine was more important. Because that's where we get all of our inspiration from. And we meaning the royal, we the Jewish people, had to do the best we could to ensure that the city of Yerushalayim looked like all it could look like, so that we could have the full experience to the best of our limited terrestrial ability. So what's wrong with Kivshoinus? Why can't we have ceramics? Rambam says, Mipnei ha'oshan. The problem is the smoke. Rambam doesn't explain why smoke is an issue. However, going back to the commentary of Rashi, in that very same place on the page 26 of Masechet Chagiga, Rashi says that the smoke would cause hashchoras hachemes, or darkening or discoloration of the proverbial gates or walls of Yerushalayim. So the walls were made of stone, and if we would have that kind of activity going on, you know, the stone would be blackened by smoke, and then it didn't gleam. It wasn't Yerushalayim. It would look old. It would look decrepit. It would look like an area of industry. Industry zones are not beautiful places. So as such, we had to take pains even to outlaw any kind of ceramic, kilns for ceramic, so that the walls would gleam in their original, I guess, whitish or yellowish color. Now, this is not connected to ritual purity or impurity. This is purely for appearance's sake. The next detail is very much connected not to appearance or stench. We went through stench yesterday. Today we talk about appearance, and we move into ritual impurity, back to ritual impurity. Ve'ein megadlim bo tarnegolim. No chicken coops. No chicken farms. What's wrong with raising chickens? Everybody wants to eat eggs. Can you imagine in Yerushalayim, if you wanted scrambled eggs, you had to go outside the city? Now, I'm sure somebody brought eggs into the city and there were eggs sold in the marketplace. There's no limit on selling eggs. That wouldn't have been, Yerushalayim was not a small city. It's a large, relatively large city. No chicken coops? At all? Talking a city that could have had hundreds of thousands of residents. No chicken coops. So the reason, Rambam says, Nipnei HaKadoshim. This is not connected to appearance or stench. This is connected to the notion of holy matters. Now, holy matters, or kadoshim, is the way we refer to edibles that come from the Beis HaMikdash. It's a mitzvah to eat certain things that come from the Beis HaMikdash. Some of those mitzvahs are unique to Kohanim. Some are special for the family of Kohanim. We talked about this in a previous episode. And then there's the Jewish people who have to eat special food like Maaser Sheni. I explained that, I think, two episodes ago. And you have to be in a state of ritual purity. And of course, you came to Yerushalayim to go to the Beis HaMikdash. And to enter the Beis HaMikdash, as we will learn, one needs to be in a state of ritual purity. Okay. Why the bird ban? What's wrong with chickens? They're not ritually impure. They're not. That's true. But these are birds who don't fly. And because they didn't fly, the nature of the chicken is that it pecks its way around. As Rashi explains, the chicken would be menaker ba'ashpa. It means it kind of pecks its way around in a dump. The dump was an attractive place for chickens, but also for creepy crawlers, shrotzim. Some of those creepy crawlers, in fact, eight of them, had a special designation of ritual impurity, or at least their carcass or body parts would. And because both would frequent these areas which are dump-like, and it's interesting because Yerushalayim didn't have any dumps. We weren't allowed to have a dump because of ritual impurity. And yet, despite the fact that we couldn't have a dump, we were worried that the chicken might go for a walk and find something which is dump-like, or maybe just things which are waiting to be carted out. And the chicken might find himself some food, a worm, not a problem. But if it happens to be a body part of one of the shrotzim, and then the chicken is on a tear and comes into either a person or encounters some ritual food stuff, we end up in trouble. Now, this sounds far-fetched to you. So do many of the COVID regulations that everybody accepted with open arms. It's a matter of importance. if your life's important to you, if safe health and safety are important to you, so you take extra precautions. Our lives is really saved by wearing masks? I don't know. It certainly inconvenience everybody. People wear masks outdoors. I was at a funeral yesterday. Everybody's wearing a mask outdoors. In the event that somebody might be ill and not know and sneeze on somebody, but people say, you know, it's health and wellness. We'll take the precaution. That's how we have to look at the idea of Kachim. People have to come into Yerushalayim feeling safe, spiritually safe. Their purity would be safeguarded by virtue of the fact that Yerushalayim was a place where everything was designed to organically reflect the possibility of what we call tahara, ritual purity. Now here it gets really interesting. Although this is not the place to hear about regulations or legislation that affected the entire country or province-wide prohibitions, there really isn't any other place to talk about this, because the prohibition against raising chickens was primarily Jerusalem-centric, at least insofar as geography is concerned. However, Rambam tells us, V'chein, similarly, for precisely the same line of logic. Lo yigadlu ha-koyanim tarnegoylim b'chol Eretz Yisrael. Koanim didn't raise chickens. Now, the Koanim didn't work in the Beis HaMikdash every day of the year. Many of them lived very distant from Yerushalayim. Some had to travel for days. They worked maybe 2 weeks a year. There was a constant turnover of people who would come, Koanim who would come to take their place. Everybody had a week. There were many mishmarot. So 24 watches, 53 weeks in a year, the holidays don't count. The Koanim would not be, if you will, gainfully employed in the Beis HaMikdash all year. What did they do? Well, they were naturally predispositioned to be the clergy. They didn't have orchards. They didn't have farms. And now we find out they weren't raising chickens. How's a Kohen going to make a living? Well, he's being gifted by the Jewish people who own the farms, plantations, and the orchards. They're holding the Kohen in high respect and esteem as the servant of Hashem. Yikes. Sorry about that. Forgot to shut that off. So as such, the Kohen was going to really be, if you will, almost naturally positioned to be the rabbi, the guide, the spiritual mentor, the teacher. It's interesting that many, many of the early prophets were actually Kohanim. It was natural. But the Kohen has a task of eating special food, not only in Yerushalayim but the Beis HaMikdash. The special food the Kohen eats is called Truma, the heave offering, the 2% that's taken from the produce. This is a dispute amongst the Rishonim if the produce refers only to grain, the product of grape or olives, or refers to everything that grows. Practically speaking, everything had truma separated from it. The question was whether it was biblically ordained or rabbinically ordained, but either way, the Kohen has to be in a state of ritual purity. The entirety of the Talmud begins with a discussion of when the Kohanim are going to immerse in a mikveh so that they can eat dinner. And because we found this issue with the birds who don't fly, that they peck or seem to get involved in these dirty situations where little shrotzim or pieces of shrotzim might show up. So the rabbis, when they enacted the bird ban in Yerushalayim, they also ordained that Kohanim, anywhere they might be throughout the country, should not be Megadel Tarnegoylim. And that, my dear friends, is two more details of the special rules and regulations of what our sages ordained to maintain the beautiful appearance, as well as the very, very special level of ritual purity that had to be observed in the holy city of Yerushalayim. So practically, does any of this apply today? Well, according to the Tashbitz, and this is found in the Tshuvas of the Tashbitz, volume 3, Tshuva responsa number 201, the Tashbit says, we know that Kedushas Ore HaChoyma, the holiness of the walled cities, was batal, but Kedushas Yerushalayim lay batal. And as such, he maintains that all of the strictures or stringencies that apply to life in Yerushalayim in antiquity should still apply in today's day and age. According to Rav Ashturi HaParchi, in his famous work, Kafta Vaferach, he maintains that in today's day and age, the vast majority of these rules and regulations would not apply. After all, he says, what's the point? There is no Beis HaMikdash. And there is no ritual purity. So why bother making people's lives more difficult? Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. The holiness is there, but the rhyme and reason for these various enactments has fallen by the wayside. We talked about this already several episodes ago, that Advaz clearly says that these laws do not apply in today's day and age. Practically speaking, as mentioned, the only thing which we're really careful about in today's day and age is this idea of not leaving corpses in Yerushalayim overnight, although we're all in a state of ritual impurity anyway. And so in today's day and age, these rules, by definition, do not apply. But I've always found it so fascinating that Jerusalem, modern-day Jerusalem, has a law about limestone and trying to maintain the integrity of the personality of the city. Yerushalayim just looks different. There's something about a snapshot of Yerushalayim that always sends chills down our spine. It just looks like Yerushalayim. And it's so fascinating to know that that idea of the white gleaming limestone of Yerushalayim is as old as the Beis HaMikdash itself, and that in fact there were laws like this way back when to preserve the appearance of our eternal holy city. May Hashem bless us with the privilege of being able to return to Yerushalayim HaBnuya, the Jerusalem that will be rebuilt, crowned with the third Beis HaMikdash, B'mheira, will be Amen, speedily, and in our days, Amen. Thanks so much for joining. If you've enjoyed this class, please share it with others, and don't forget to subscribe, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. Remember to enable notifications. Have a beautiful day.